Last investment in the depository committee.
Yeah. All right, I've got 3:30. Let's go ahead and get started. Start with the minutes from the 2/24/25 depository investment committee meeting.
I make a motion to approve the minutes from the February 24, 2025 meeting of the depository investment committee.
I can second those minutes.
Got a motion and a second. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Administration of the investment policy.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So I've got this cheat sheet up here on the screen. It's a checklist to help me make sure that we cover all our bases with the requirements of the investment committee or the investment policy. So we'll make sure we get all those covered, and if I miss something, you can let me know. But we will start with the annual report of investment transactions and results. And part one of that is just this quarterly report that I present to the superintendent, and for the sake of satisfying this requirement, I'll present here the December 31st or the quarter four report for 2025. So this first page, it's about a half dozen pages here. This first page just gives you water funds, sewer funds combined, and then the different buckets that they fall in. So we have dollar amounts for each, as well as percentage of the whole for each fund. So it's always interesting to us, for example, to see our CDs, the investments that we have in our CDRs, what percentage of our total funds is invested in those. We can see that for the water fund, it's at 58%, $18 million of the $31.3 million of water funds at December 31st. For sewer, it's at 63% of the $24.7 million of sewer funds. Of course, that's a balancing act, right, between just having cash in the checking account available, accessible, convenient if you need it right away, compared with just optimizing what we could get by investing everything. But as you'll see, we do all right by leaving funds in our Arvest checking account as well, and we'll see that in a minute. But this just gives you a high-level overview of the different buckets and where things are. And I've got some notes here that we'll touch on as we go through the report as well. So looking first at our checking accounts, you can see the different accounts held at Arvest Bank and the accounts held at First National Bank. So you have for each account our general ledger balance, the bank balance at month end, and then from that bank balance we take out the $250,000 insured by the FDIC. And that is the number to which I'm comparing the market value of collateral, those pledged securities held by the bank on our behalf to secure our deposits. And you'll note that by my calculation, December 31st for our Arvest accounts, we had collateral of 94.9%, which is short of the required 102%. So this is not in compliance with our policy. I can tell you this is the first time I have seen it drop below 102%. And so I've got an inquiry in to Arvest. I don't have a good answer for why that is short at this time. I'll throw in the obvious caveat that maybe I miscalculated somewhere and it's really covered like it should be. But currently that's in non-compliance, and we'll see what kind of answer I get back from Arvest. If you look at the First National Bank accounts, you can see they're well above, the collateral is well above what's required for the balances held in those depreciation and meter deposits accounts. The next page shows our investments in CDRs. You can see here the different institutions these are held at: First National Bank, First Western Bank, Chambers Bank, Arvest Bank. All these are from our list of authorized depositories. You see here the rate that we're getting on each of these, as well as the purchase date and maturity date, the balance of each. You can see from that maturity date column, these right now are pretty well laddered throughout the year, and that's how we like it, unless we've got operational reason to have some of these maturing to match a projected outflow of funds, like for a major capital project or something like that. But we'll look at this and our return on it a little bit closer in the next part of the report. But in total, $33.6 million invested in CDs at December 31st. I'll skip past what's at Simmons. That's our access and impact fees, held in trust accounts at Simmons Bank. Debt service accounts are held at Regions. Down here at the bottom, on the last page of this quarterly report, the commission gets this report in every monthly financials packet. And I show it here too, just to kind of highlight that and to emphasize the point that we have access to this every month. The point is not only to show what's restricted and unrestricted by fund, but also to give the comparison to our required minimum reserves. And you see that in red on your screen, both for water and for sewer. Now these reserves, the minimum reserves here, are the proposed numbers for 2026 that we'll be talking about later. But you can see that, for example, of the $28.5 million of unrestricted water funds, the required minimum reserves that's proposed of $12 million represents 38% of what we have in water unrestricted. And for sewer, the minimum reserves reflect about 41% of our total sewer funds. And there are some restricted water funds, a required minimum reserve associated with restricted funds. That's our meters liability. So if we had to pay back to the customers all the deposits that we had collected so far, our liability is $1.5 million. And you can see we've got a little bit more than that due to the interest that's been accumulating in those funds. I'll move on to the second part of the annual report here. And this is a report on interest and fees for the calendar year 2025. And so just big picture, again, these are our funds in the different buckets. We've got checking accounts, trust accounts, CDs. We've got the interest rate at December 31st, the interest income earned over the full calendar year, and then for comparison, the interest rate December 31st of 2024, the prior year, and interest income for that full year as well. So you can see that for our Arvest accounts, interest rate has remained unchanged at 2.85%. We did close a couple of money market accounts that we were not using. But 2.85%, I feel like, is pretty good just for having money sitting in a checking account. I mean, that's an easy way for me to just park some money and feel like I'm still getting something for it without having to think too much about trying to optimize the investments with CD placements or other types of investments that we might do. First National Bank, we're earning 1%. That's unchanged. You can see that the credit card account, there's nothing there for 2025, and that's because we did move that account from First National Bank to Arvest Bank. We did that for convenience, number one, but also because we were earning 0% on that account at First National Bank, and we're earning 2.85% at Arvest. That's the account that if a customer is coming up to the window to pay by credit card, it goes there. And same for our online payments, whether by credit card or debit card or e-check, they all end up in this this landing account before they get transferred elsewhere. Trust accounts, these are our Simmons accounts for access and impact fees. This is a government money market fund. It was earning 3.69% at 12/31. That's down from the 4.36% it was earning last year. CDs, we looked at the detail a minute ago. On average, at December 31st, we're getting about 4% from those. Last year, on average, it was 4.8%. And then our debt service accounts, again, these are held at Regions. We're putting money in each month, and then that way the money's there when we need to make our semi-annual principal and interest payments. Again, this is a government money market fund. It was earning 3.35% at December 31st compared to 4.47% a year ago. It all adds up to total interest income of about $2.19 million. That's just a little bit down from the $2.24 million last year. So the big picture is we've had a little bit more to invest. You can kind of sit up here at the top, just in rough numbers, how much available we had to invest. It was $48 million in 2023, $52 million in 2024, $55 million now in 2025. So we had a few million dollars more to invest in an environment of decreasing interest rates, and we still ended the year pretty darn close to how we ended last year. Any questions about that piece?
Looks good.
Well, the other part before we leave this administration of the investment policy into the report section, the policy also requires you to have an opportunity to make any internal control recommendations, right? And to that point, I'll just note that those internal controls, including all the controls around our cash handling and management, are part of our audit scope. We didn't have any feedback in that regard from our auditors for FY 2025. The one change that I'll mention is that we do have an electronic safe now under restricted access here that only a few people can access in a certain room. And that's a change from having an employee make a daily trip to the local branch with a deposit bag in hand. So basically we get a provisional credit for the cash that we're depositing into that electronic safe. From the bank, we get a credit to our account, and then once a week a Loomis agent comes and retrieves the physical cash. And so far that's working out pretty well for us. We've been doing it just for the last month, 6 weeks or so, and that is one change to our controls, but we feel like it was an improvement because it reduces the risk both to the cash in transit as well as for the RW employee who had been making that daily trip. But I need to give you the opportunity if you have any other recommendations for internal controls, this would be the time.
I do not.
I do not either. Looks good.
All right. That concludes my report.
Very good. There's no action needed on this, correct? Nice work, Jared. You agree with that, Robert, I guess? Yeah, we don't need.
Oh, no, I don't think you need to make action to report the. Yeah. Sheets for a bit assigned.
Yep, you bet. All right. Jerry, you want to keep on moving with the modification to RW investment policy?
So, this item will take the form of a recommendation from the committee to be reviewed and ultimately hopefully approved by the full commission. For the commission, it will be resolution number 26-06, amending the policy for deposits and investments. Accompanying this resolution is an exhibit one, which contains most of the text of the policy, as well as exhibit A, showing our update to the required minimum reserves. So the exhibit one that is included in your packet is a marked up version meant to show you the changes. It just starts with an update to the history of the resolutions related to this policy, an update to the state statute, numbering, and then content-wise down here under collateralization is one proposal. I have just reworded this in a way that in my mind brings clarity to the intent of the policy. It says collateralization will be maintained as required by state law and procedures established by Rogers Water Utilities. For demand deposits, time deposits, and any other investments requiring collateralization, the market value of pledged securities shall be at least 102% of the principal and accrued interest, less the amount insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. And then under Exhibit A, this is where we have our updates to the required minimum reserves. And for comparison, we provide the adopted minimum reserves for 2025. So what's proposed for 2026 involves no changes to the formula. It keeps the formula from last year, it's just updated numbers. So we start with prior year operating expenses from our most recent audited financials. We take away depreciation, since that's a significant non-cash expense, and we're left with our unrestricted minimum reserves. It's $12,086,000 proposed for the water department, up from $10,704,000 in the prior year. And for sewer, the proposed minimum reserves unrestricted are $9,334,000 compared to $9,049,000 in the prior year. For restricted minimum reserves, it's only relevant for the water department, and that is the meter deposits liability, as I previously mentioned, what we would owe our customers if we needed to come up with that cash all at once. I've got some notes for reference here, including significant outstanding bonded debt, as well as our debt service coverage ratios. These again come from our audited financials, and you can see that they are well above what would be considered comfortable at 1.25. Finally, at the bottom, I've got a couple of other notes here. Unrestricted cash reserves are intended to be available for use when needed. Use of reserves may cause reserves to drop below the required minimums. Such drops should be temporary with the consent of the commission and accompanied by a plan to bring reserves back up to the required minimums. And then a definition of minimum short-term reserves for water and sewer, either one, it's equal to unrestricted minimum reserves plus restricted assets. So by minimum short-term reserves, we're talking about either a cash equivalent or something that could be turned into cash inside of 1 year. So if I was investing in CDs, they'd be 1 year or less to meet this definition. And here it is. This is just an example using, again, the December 31st, 2025 figures. There is my unrestricted required minimum for water. And then as of December 31st, you can see all of my restricted assets held in meter deposits, debt reserve, access and impact fees, depreciation. Total restricted assets for water is $2.8 million. If you combine it with the required minimum, 14.91 is my minimum short-term reserves. And then same for sewer down here. I've got the proposed unrestricted required minimum and then the balance of all our restricted assets. It totals $12.1 million as of December 31st. So obviously the required minimums don't change month to month with the exception of that meter deposits liability, which we'll see some minor fluctuation from month to month. And then as the value of our restricted assets changes each month, then this minimum short-term reserves will also fluctuate a little bit. But that's an overview of the changes proposed for our investment policy. The policy itself, as well as the exhibit that includes the proposed minimum reserves there. So again, this would be a recommendation from the committee for the commission to approve.
I'd make a recommendation to make those changes.
I'll second.
First and a second. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? All right. Jared, designation of depositories.
This is our last item, and it's an easy one, but in accordance with state statute, we're required to review and approve annually a list of authorized depositories for our funds. And there is no change to this list, with the exception of Cadence Bank, which was acquired by Huntington. And so as a result, you'll not see Cadence on here, but Huntington Bank shares. Staff did confirm that Huntington, along with all these other depositories, are and remain on the state's list of institutions eligible to receive public funds. So we'd be asking you again to recommend this list of depositories subject to approval by the commission.
I'll make a motion that we keep the prior name banks on the list of approved depositories for Rogers Water Utilities.
And I'll make that second.
First and a second. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Jared, nice work, man.
Great.
Very good. In detail.
As always, thanks.
Are, is there any other business? We are adjourned.